I want to bring the message this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, title of the message, Good News for Sinners. In verse 15 it says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul begins by saying that this is a faithful saying. It's a true saying. It is a faithful saying because of who it's from, God. God who cannot lie. The testimony of the gospel did not originate with men. Peter said, We have not followed cunningly devised fables of men, nor did it originate with angels, but it originated with God who alone is faithful and true. This is the hope of every sinner, that the gospel is of God, that He sent it, that it came from Him. God first preached the gospel in the Garden of Eden when He said the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head and the serpent would bruise his heel. The gospel was also faithfully preached throughout all the Old Testament in types and pictures. The Passover lamb was a picture of Christ. The tabernacle was a picture of Christ. The ark in which Noah was saved was a picture of Christ. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, all of those pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a faithful saying because it is founded upon the immutable counsel and promise and oath of God that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. This is not Paul's opinion of why Christ came. It is God's testimony as to why He came. He came to save sinners. This saying is faithful, is true to God's law. The law was magnified and made honorable by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. We could not accomplish this, but He did. It is faithful. It is true to God's justice. His justice is satisfied through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is faithful. It is true to God's promises. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Not one of His promises will fail. And it's worthy of all acceptation. Not all that men preach is worthy of our acceptance. Not everyone who uses the name Jesus Christ is preaching the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Paul said some will come preaching another Jesus, another gospel, and you're not to accept that one. But this gospel of God's glory, of full salvation through the person and work of Christ alone, without any works on our part, is worthy of all acceptation. None are so bad that the gospel does not afford them a ground of hope. And none are so good as to have any just grounds of hope without it. The Pharisee and the harlot have the same need, Christ. There's only one gospel for all whom God saves, and it's the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ and Him crucified. And it's worthy of the acceptance of all men. Rich, poor, young, old, black, white, it's worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of all your trust and confidence. You and I are the ones not worthy of acceptance. But He is. This saying, this gospel of Christ, is worthy of the acceptance of all generations. There shall never come a generation that is above the acceptance of the gospel. We are not growing better. Every generation is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Time does not make us better. It's worthy of all acceptation because of who it concerns. Christ Jesus. Ponder that name. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's the only name God recognizes. We are not talking about just another son of Adam. We are not talking about some martyr. We are talking about the Lord of glory, the Holy One of Israel, the Creator of heaven and earth, the One in whose hand all things have been given, God in human flesh. The gospel is concerning a person. This is where preachers of our day are missing it. It's not you straighten up and God will save you. It is not quit being an Arminian and become a Calvinist. It's not just a change of doctrines. It is not the Romans road. It is a real living person, the Son of God, Christ Jesus. These two words mean anointed Savior. The anointed Savior came into the world to save sinners. For that is what He was anointed to do. God the Father did not anoint Him to try to save. He anointed Him to save sinners. It says in Matthew 1:21, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." God the Father, before the world began, anointed His Son to be the Savior of sinners. And He sent Him into the world to save them. He did not come unsent or uncommissioned. He has the full authority of His Father to back Him up. The divine seal and approval of the Father is on Him, and Him only, no other name given. What more of a Savior could a sinner want than a Savior sent of God? God Himself. God in human flesh. God Himself has come to save us. He's come to save sinners. And He came in the fullest sense of the word, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was no mere imitation of a man. He was a real man. He was subject to all the infirmities of the flesh, hunger, thirst, weary. He knows what it is to be human. But the reason He became a man was to provide sinners with a righteousness that God would accept. To keep God's law as a man and satisfy God's justice as a man, to be a proper representative of all the sinners given to Him. It says in Hebrews, "He took not on Him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham." It does not say the seed of Adam. He took on Him the promised seed of Abraham. As a man, as a God-man, He redeemed us from the curse of the law. There was a curse on all those sinners whom He came to save. And notice for a minute where He came, into the world. He came into the world. What does that mean? He did not come to a place of honor, but a place of dishonor. They mocked Him in Pilate's hall. They spit on Him. To a place of ridicule and rejection. Not happiness, but sorrow. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Not riches, but poverty. He had no place to lay His head. He came to a place of sin, not a place of holiness. And why did He come? To save sinners. The people that Christ Jesus came to save are sinners. Ungodly sinners. Not the unfortunate, the ungodly. The people He came to save are altogether unrighteous. There's none of them good, no, not one. Collectively, there's not one good. He came to save sinners from the curse of the law by being made a curse for them. He came to save sinners from the avenging justice of an angry God. He came to save sinners from eternal death. He came to save sinners from the power of Satan. He came to save sinners from themselves. We are our worst enemies. My, what love. Love that passes all understanding to save sinners. Christians. True Christians are sinners saved by the grace of God. I could understand how that God, being holy, would not save a wretch like me. Yet the people that He saves are wretches, good for nothing. I'm glad it doesn't read like this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came to save, because I'd be afraid that the ones He came to save would be of a character that I could not attain to. What if He said He came to save monarchs, kings? I'd be in trouble. But a sinner I am. I don't have to attain to this character. I was born one. I love to hear who came to save and who He came to save, sinners. It does not say that He came to save awakened sinners, though He does, or learned sinners, though He teaches those whom He saves. It's just sinners, no more, no less. Now this word, sinner, includes some of every kind. Gross sinners, men given to the lust of their flesh. Religious sinners, like Saul of Tarsus. Ignorant sinners, unlearned, ignorant men. Rich or poor sinners, King David, like the woman with the issue of blood. Sinners of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. It was for sinners He lived. a perfect life of obedience. It was for sinners He died as a sacrifice for their sins. It is for sinners that He pleads now in glory. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, and that's still His business. Now in closing, how the chief of sinners reacts to this message. It'll make him thankful. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus. It will beget love and affection. To whom much is forgiven, he loves much. It will beget holiness. Titus 2 says, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. It will beget humility. When Matthew recalls the disciples, he calls himself the publican. Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. It will beget faith and reverence. There's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. It will beget assurance. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, I hope some sinners this morning heard the message. Christ came to save sinners. Look to him.